Let's pray. Father, as always, we come before you and we lift this time and this message up to you. We put them into your hands. We ask that you do your will with them. Whatever's from you, change our hearts and our lives. Whatever's not, just let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, amen. In the early 1970s, me and my posse aimlessly wandered our neighborhood by night looking for trouble. And we found it. We would knock on the doors of unsuspecting elderly and run away before they answered the door. We would dress in dark clothes and brazenly steal kohlrabis from Mr. Kernicki's garden under the murky cover of night. We would pull our ill-gotten gains, which came from allowance and pop bottles, to buy a pack of smokes at Mary's store, usually Eve's. I don't know if you remember Eve's. They were the women's cigarettes. Yeah. Because that was part of our clever ruse to trick Tony, Mary's husband, into selling us cigarettes. Give me 3 peanut butter cups, 2 jawbreakers, and a pack of Eve's for my mom. Nothing more rebellious than 3 young toughs hiding in the woods behind the softball field smoking women's cigarettes that they bought with their allowance their mommy gave them. Charles Bronson would tremble in fear if he ever crossed our path. The key point to this confession of my misspent youth is the word we. We'd all these things together. We didn't do any of these things by ourselves, except for Daryl, her dad. He really liked kohlrabi. All summer he walked around with a salt shaker in his pocket. He was hooked on the dark cabbage by the time he was 12. It was a tough neighborhood. We couldn't work up the nerve to do any of our foul deeds by ourselves. We need the encouragement of fellow nincompoops. Somehow wrong seemed righter and dumb seemed smarter when we did it together. It's the communal property of sin. Whenever 2 or 3 are gathered in rebellion, self-deception becomes easier to embrace. If they are willing to do it, I must be right. Last week, we began to look at scriptures that warned us not to be deceived. You know, there's many times in scripture where it says plainly, do not be deceived. Jesus, most of the time, the one saying it. In other words, pay attention because it's really easy to be deceived about this, so don't be. We saw that the wording of this warning implies that being deceived is a choice. It is on us to not be deceived. Why would scripture tell us not to be deceived if we had no choice in the matter? We also saw that we deceive ourselves in the end. All deception is when we deceive ourselves. We call a lie the truth because we prefer it to the truth. The desires of our heart work to convince our minds that what God said in his word does not apply now or to me. It is a battle between what we know and what we want, the eternal and the temporal, truth and lies. This week, we'll look at the communal property of deception. It is usually a group effort of the like-minded who have manufactured the same conclusion and cling to the same deception. While desire needs no influence from another to spring forth in our hearts, to make it acceptable to our minds, we often turn to the thoughts and reasonings of others, the fellowship of deception. We seek out those who will tell us what we desire is right, regardless of what Scripture says. We seek out anything remotely close to logical reasons to embrace deception. We seek comfort in numbers as if God will change his will when he's confronted by our unified determination. We voted God and decided you got this one wrong. Here's what we decided you ought to do or how it should be done. Eve may have desired the fruit intrinsically before any outside influence. Satan may have told her the lie she wanted to hear, but she did not act until Adam joined her. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Cheryl should have read that before she married me. Ignorance is bliss. Problem is, when we desire to do something bad, we seek out company. We tilt our ears to those who tell us what we desire to do is okay, as if unity of deception could alter the truth. It makes us feel better when we sin if others join us, at least for a little while. Do not be deceived. Do not allow this to happen. Don't hang around with those who will endorse your self-deception. You will be corrupted, it says. It will corrupt you. But if that's what you want, a feeling of credibility for what we desire, that is what you will get. As if others could grant you such a thing, as if they had the power. We all do this. We all watch the news channels that will tell us what we want to hear and that what we believe is credible. Well, the news said so. We all have to be wary of joining a choir that so beautifully sings the fabrications that we like. Deception in our hearts requires fellowship to quiet the nagging voice of truth in our minds. Our flesh battles the spirit for control of our lives. The old man fights the new man, and the ones we fellowship with help us decide who wins. Ephesians 4:22, that in reference to your former manner of life, speaking to the church, to Christians, you lay aside the old self. It's dead. Lay it aside. Don't drag the corpse around. The longer you drag it, the more it stinks. Which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit. Interesting wording. Not the deceit of lust, but the lust that belongs to deceit. It's not saying that lust is deceitful. It is. But that deceit is based on our lust. It's based on what we want. We desire something we cannot have, so we lie to make it available. Spiritual deceit occurs because we desire sin. If we did not desire sin, lust for it, we would not allow ourselves to be deceived. It is that simple. We seek the whisper in our ear. We search for the plausibility and plausible deniability of the truth from anyone who is willing to tell us that we get to decide what is right and what is wrong. What our hearts desire doesn't become relative truth. The lie simply becomes acceptable to our minds, rational, because we have strung together a web of conceivably tenable arguments. We tell ourselves what we want to hear and seek out those who will validate what we have told ourselves. Sanctification is a process, and at times, the old desires of our hearts are not laid aside by us because we really like them. Our hearts speak to our minds to join the festivities. But the Spirit fights back the lust of deceit with the truth of the Spirit and the Word of God. Christian fellowship makes the cord of three strands of truth that cannot be broken by the lust of deceit. However, our deceitful hearts urge us to seek out fellowship that will tell us what it wants to hear, creating a different kind of cord. One also made of three strands of corruption. The desire of our flesh, the whisper of Satan, and the fellowship of deceit, the flip side of the coin. Proverbs 16:29 says, a man of violence entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. Violence, the word is hames, a strong, fierce, destructive force, implying lawlessness, terror, and a lack of moral restraint. Persons doing wrong naturally entice others to join them in sin, so that they can maintain the facade of righteousness. We want others to join us, and they want to join us. And there's a strange comfort when we all sing the same song as the ship sinks. Proverbs 12:26, the righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Righteous people guide their neighbors through life, while unrighteous people lead their neighbors to sin. It is what they do. You are doing one or you are doing the other. Because there are only two types of humans. Remember, sheep or goats. That is all there is. There is nothing else that separates us. There is no category that is not one of the above. The sheep lead others to righteousness. The goats lead others to sin. Proverbs 1:10, my son, if a sinner entices you, do not consent. If seems to be a weak word here, because sin loves company. A cabal of evil solidifies around ideas of human pride that verify to each other that we get to decide what sin is and what sin is not. The Word of God exists to justify our desires, not to challenge them. Once again, personal choice is noted. Do not consent. We are deceived because we want to be. We seek it out. There are some sins we hold so tightly that we refuse to acknowledge their true disposition. Others agreeing with us make us hold the lie all the tighter. It is paramount that we understand that these warnings about deception are not directed to someone else. They are directed to all. These are warnings to me and to you. Judge your own life. When Scripture warns, do not be deceived, we usually begin to think about the people that this warning was surely meant for, people who disagree with me. But this warning is for you. We keep a list of scriptures and a gaggle of teachers that tell us why we are right and why others are wrong. We fellowship with like-minded to defeat those who challenge our platform. We develop political and social agendas that we mold the Word of God around so we can claim that God is on our side instead of claiming that we are on God's side. See, all these people here agree with me. I must be right. It doesn't matter which end of the deception you cling to. One is not less evil than the other. Christians once tried to use Scripture to justify slavery, just as other folks now try to use Scripture to justify immorality. Mostly, we ignore Scripture that doesn't fit the lie we cling to. And as long as others agree with us, we feel assured in a lie and encouraged by the group. We would rather win an argument than be right. We would rather win an argument than be right. We would rather cling to the lie that comforts us instead of accept the truth that challenges us. Deception attracts those who desire to be deceived. Just look around you and you will find a group of people who are the same kind of sinner as you, who will tell you what you want to hear. You'll find them next door, in the pews, on the TV, the radio, and of course, on the internet. And you don't have to look hard to find the lie you're looking for in a pulpit. There are churches and perhaps entire denominations that exist to tell you what you want to hear, and they call their agenda the gospel. 2 Timothy 4:1-4. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great passion and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires. And will turn away their ears from the truth and will turn aside to myths. In Paul's last letter, as he readies to leave here and to go there, he leaves his dear student Timothy with a strong command: preach the word. Use it to correct wrong and to challenge deception. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort are terms of conflict. They are terms of challenge. The word of God conflicts with our flesh. There is no other way to see it. It challenges our desires, and when its truth is spoken in love and clarity, patience and instruction, it protects us from our own deception. Scripture isn't the best source to define sin. It is the only source to define sin. Not me, not you, not councils, not denominations, not political platforms, and surely not our deceitful hearts. Paul warns us that we will not endure sound doctrine, which knows the truth must be clung to and fought for. Endure is a word of passion, because our flesh will challenge it every day of our lives. Scripture is meant to destroy your pride, not meant to augment it. We will find people who will tell us the lie we desire to hear. We will seek them out and accumulate them for ourselves. Anyone who tells us that what we desire is not sin. We will make a conscious decision to stop listening to the truth and listen only to the lies that assure us that we are not deceived because everyone else is. Remember, do not be deceived is not a warning for others. It is for you and it is for me. And woe to the one who does the deceiving. But the deceivers exist because people want to be deceived. It is supply and demand. Isaiah 39 through 11. For this is a rebellious people, false sons, who refuse to listen to the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, you must not see visions, and to the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words. Prophesy illusion. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. God's people, and that is who he's talking to, demanded lies. They desired to be told that they can do whatever they want and that there are no consequences for sin. Tell us about God, but not the holy God that demands holiness. We don't want to be holy like God. We want our God to be like us. We want what we desire to be called holy. And if you won't do it, we will find someone else who will. So, what do you do to protect ourselves from the ones who will tell us the lies we like to hear? Romans 16, 17 through 18. Now I urge you, brethren, keep your eyes on those who cause dissensions and hindrances, contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. For such men are slaves, not of our Lord Jesus Christ, but of their own appetites. And by their smooth and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the unsuspecting. What he's saying is don't lose track. Know who they are and what they are saying. Of those who teach contrary to the fundamental teachings of the gospel, keep an eye on them. Know what they're saying and doing because they are dangerous. They seek to poison the lambs. Turn away from them. Don't join with them. Unity is not sacred. Unity is not sacred. Obedience to the word is. They serve their own lust and they speak deception to the hearts of those who are not spiritually prepared to meet them. Preach the word. Preach the word. As John Wesley noted, in matters of religions, I regard no writing but the inspired. Know the word and then cling to it. Psalms 119, 29 through 32. David's plea. Remove the false way from me. Take away my desire. And graciously grant me your law. Graciously grant me your law. I have chosen the faithful way. I have placed your ordinances before me. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart. Protect me from me, Lord. I will know your law and I will cling to it. I have chosen your call. I have placed your word inside me. I study it, respect it, and I accept it. And nothing can dislodge it from me. And you will open my heart to accept the living truth of your word. I do what I'm supposed to do. You will always do what you do, Lord. I finish with Genesis 3:1 once again. The lie we desire to hear. I can do whatever I want. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said. One more time. Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. The very first deception, the very first lie heard by the ear of mankind was to question the word of God. This deception has not changed at all because we have not changed. Surely we are like God. God would never stop us from doing what we desire in our hearts. He exists to grant us our desires, not to challenge them. It is the lie we want to hear. Gill's commentary says this regarding 3:1. Surely it cannot be true that a God of such goodness could ever deny you such a benefit or restrain you from such happiness. He can never be your friend that can lay such an injunction on you. I have heard that preached, telling people it was okay. Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown put it this way. Is it true that it's restricted you in using the fruits of this delightful place? Satan says to Eve. This is not like one so good and kind. Surely there is some mistake. Surely you've misinterpreted it, or you didn't hear it right. You didn't get it in its background. He insinuated a doubt as to her sense of the divine will and appeared as an angel of light, offering to lead her to true interpretation of freedom. You're a God. There are many who will offer to affirm the lie your heart wants so desperately to be true. And I say this to you, cling to the word. Know the word so you can cling to it. Turn away from them and keep your eye on them and fellowship with like-minded people. It is the force that saves you from them. Know the truth and cling to it desperately. With the full force of Scripture, the Spirit, and the fellowship of the saints, the cord of three strands that cannot be broken by any lie. Brothers and sisters, we stand together or we fall together. It is our adherence to Scripture that determines which it will be. It is impossible to be the light on the hill to the world when you are hiding from God in the bushes with the world in shame. Do not be deceived. If you are doing the one, you're not doing the other. And who you fellowship with and who you turn your ear to makes a difference. Amen.